Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing the vital impact of customer care in multifamily. And joining me today by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran who is an industry educator and a sought-after national speaker, Gabrielle Gonzalez, the owner of Gabrielle Gonzalez & Associates. Welcome, Gabrielle.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's always great to have you on. You bring a lot of great information and share some great stories and examples of the topics we discuss with our multifamily industry listeners. But I do want to jump into it. I mean, I've got to tell you, even in our conversations we've had in the past, we've talked about customer care, we've talked about customer service, and we've talked about CX, customer experience. What's the difference in those things?
Well, that's a great question. And I think one of the things, you know, we've heard the term customer service for years and years and years. It's only about the last 9 years or so that the term customer experience has really emerged as an often deployed alternative. And I think the key difference is that customer service is a point in time. It's a transaction that occurs, whereas customer experience really reflects the cumulative impact of all of a customer's interactions with your product or services or just overall brand. It's the cumulative impact of all of those experiences represents the customer experience. So that's something that it's a distinction that I think is really important to make, especially in today's business economy.
And let's talk a little bit about how people who are leading in the customer experience, whether they're multifamily or otherwise, what type of performance do they see that could be different from people who aren't practicing good or leading good in that customer experience category?
Well, I think it's important to, you know, understand, you know, why it's so important in today's economy. And I think John DeJulius, who's one of my favorite advocates in this space, he is the author of the book The Customer Service Revolution and also The Relationship Economy. But I think he says it best when he points out that there's an Uber coming to every industry. Uber is part of the digital disruption that completely turned the taxi and limo industries upside down. And, you know, you can track similar developments in other realms, like Amazon, for example, has disrupted nearly all retail business, grocery stores, health insurance, banks, home security, entertainment, pharmacies, shipping. I mean, we're all shipping stuff right now with Amazon, but it continues to expand into other fields. Airbnb has disrupted the hotel industry and even multifamily. Netflix wiped out video rental stores and is impacting cable TV. And really no industry is safe. So, you know, in the past, cutting edge innovation had a much longer shelf life in overcoming your competition, right? So now, though, it's not uncommon, for example, in our industry, to see that everybody has a resort-style pool or state-of-the-art fitness center. You know, it's everywhere. So that edge is no longer there for you. So since pretty much any of your competitors can replicate your innovations and quickly reduce the temporary advantage you had, customer experience is really the one thing that your competitors can't replicate. It's your reliable differentiator, you know?
And I know you had shared with me some information about the S&P 500 index people that led that. What was it? Go ahead.
Well, one of the things people are always asking, you know, how does, you know, everybody, I don't think there's really a shortage of general consensus that delivering a better customer experience is good for a company and for customer, right? I mean, I don't think there's a big argument or debate out there about that. But what I do know, particularly from having been in C-suite level roles focused on customer experience and trying to drive those metrics, is that, you know, your CEO, while he or she may be generally of the mindset that, yeah, customer experience is great and focusing on it is great, they really want to know, how does it impact the bottom line? You know, how is our investment in this strategic focus point really going to impact our bottom line? How is that going to return on us? So I think that some data is really important. And Qualtrics puts out some really great data, and they identified that organizations that led in customer experience outperformed laggards on the S&P 500 index by nearly 80%. Mm. They retain higher share of wallet, and they have customers that are 7 times more likely to purchase from the company, 8 times more likely to try other products or services, and 15 times more likely to spread positive word of mouth. So I think that, you know, there's some real strong data out there that really demonstrates that incredible return on that investment of focusing on the customer experience. And that's really what your CEOs are looking for.
Yeah, and I want to just share with our listeners and with you too, Gabrielle, that my father was an advertising executive for over 50 years, and he used to always say that word-of-mouth advertising is the best advertising you can have, and it's the only one you can't pay for.
Yeah.
So
How long ago that was, but yeah. He had it right. He had it figured out. That's so true then, and it remains so true now, and maybe even truer now with the impact of social media and the way that millennials like to shop and so forth.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, and I just wanted to ask you a question because you hear all the time. In advertising or whatever it is that you see social media about companies who are always claiming that they have a high level of commitment to customer service. First of all, is that true? Should we believe that when they say it? And second of all, what do you see with this in general and even in multifamily?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think you're right. So just like your dad recognized years and years ago, right, in the advertising realm, that word of mouth advertising that's the highest yield, best return on investment kind of advertising you can get. Mm-hmm. Because it's just basically doing what you say you're going to do. People like it. They come back for more. And so I think a lot of companies have gotten, you know, they recognize that, and they like to advertise or, you know, proclaim rather that they have this commitment to a higher level of customer care. But it's really in the execution. So, I mean, United Airlines, that's a great example. You know, they are among the lowest ranked of major airlines on customer service, yet they proclaim that they have a, quote, level of service to our customers that makes United a leader in the airline industry. And see, when you say it really nice like that, too, it can sort of make it sound like it's true.
Right.
But, you know, it's not. So I think that it's a really good point. You got to, and that's where millennials are really leading the charge in looking at those reviews. You've got to look at reviews and find that you see if it's really consistent with what the company is proclaiming. I don't know if we have time. I have a quick story.
Sure.
About some phone shops I've recently done.
Yeah, we've got about a minute and a half left.
Okay. So I've recently been doing some phone shops for one of my clients and been in multifamily and been trying to identify, you know, who's really where the strength in the CX space is in the market. And I have done some shops on multifamily operators, some really well-known ones and large ones who proclaim to have a, you know, really cornerstone of customer experience focused in their company. And through some of the phone shops, I have found exactly the opposite of that, you know, to the point where I talked to one person, and I, as I was trying to explain to them what I was looking for so that they could, I could actually shop them, they interrupted me four times while I was trying to tell them, you know, when I was wanting to move or what budget I had, and began just kind of telling me things or just taking the conversation a different way. There was no time spent developing rapport or understanding my specific needs. And we all know that you can't have a, create a relationship with a customer if you don't first know what they need.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a lot of that has to do with what you experience with either poor training or lack of training or not understanding training that they're supposed to have. We do have to take a break here. I want to jump back into that. I have a question for you about that when we get back. But we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of the vital impact of customer care in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran, who is an industry educator and sought-after national speaker, Gabriel Gonzalez, the owner of Gabriel Gonzalez and Associates. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Gabrielle, I mentioned before we stopped the last segment that I had a question for you. We were talking about, I'd mentioned training. You had told your story about someone just not listening to what you said and going directly into their script. And so much of what I've seen in, when it comes to training and sales positions or even customer service type positions, they train you to listen instead of and respond to what the person's saying instead of just reciting a set script. What are you seeing in the industry, in the multifamily industry, with this type of thing? Is that important?
Well, I have seen an improvement over the last probably 10 years or so in our industry, specifically in the quality of training that is taking place and helping folks focus on the individual relationship with the customer. I've also seen, one of the things that I have done too is kind of redefined the customer. Who is the customer? The customer can be not only just your end user, which is your resident, But the customer can also be your employee. The customer is your vendor or contractor, their FedEx person that's delivering to your community or office every day. So I think when we really expand the definition and notion of customer and then recognize that, just like you said, it's about a relationship. It's that service is reaction. So it's not just, you know, having a script and telling someone, here's everything that we have to offer. That's just sort of a one way. If you're thinking about a visual, it's a one way arrow going one way. It's not a dialogue. And it is critical that you have a dialogue with, and whether that's virtual or in person, but with your customer, so that yes, you are accommodating their specific needs, not just throwing out, here's everything that we have. Because we've also found too, and I keep referring back to those millennials again, because they represent the largest segment of our consumers at the moment, but those millennials really want that personalization. And so you are going to turn them off if you just spew out a script of here's everything that we have. They want to know and recognize all along that customer journey that you see them as an individual. And that can only be done when you listen and respond.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I want to jump now to something and kind of time stamp this episode for our listeners, that we are recording this episode at the time when the first vaccines for COVID-19 are coming out. So we've been going through the pandemic for quite some time. Hopefully there's the light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines, that it's going to not be around too much longer after the first of the year in 2021. But when we talk about COVID, has that made it more difficult or easier in some ways for providers in multifamily to be able to accomplish good customer service?
Well, it's a great question, and I think that data is showing overall that companies who went into the COVID pandemic with higher resident satisfaction scores are faring way better than those with lower satisfaction scores. In fact, I've witnessed this with a couple of different clients myself. Those portfolios or properties who entered the pandemic with high resident satisfaction scores, they were using SatisFax, that continued to do really well with, you know, through the toughest times of COVID. And those that started off sort of just barely hitting that SatisFax index actually went down during that period of time. So I think that companies had a real opportunity to show who they are with COVID. Some of them did a great job, some of them not so good. And I think part of what helped those who did a good job was their comprehensive communication strategies. So many of them used a variety of different communication vehicles to over communicate with their residents about what their modifications or refinements to policies and processes were going to be, and continue to engage with those residents. So those are the ones who I think ended up doing better. But again, it's about, you know, talking a good talk, but not being able to walk the walk. I think customers who felt more appreciated on the front end were more willing to remain loyal through some of those hardships.
And I'm, you know, one of the things when I was talking to some of the people, operators in the industry, after the first round of COVID was behind us, they were talking about how challenging it was to do that communication that you're speaking of, and to have that transparency, not only with the residents, but also with employees, because it was so uncertain. Everything was changing almost on a daily basis as far as recommendations, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And it caused quite a bit of frustration I know with a lot of the employees, because they were giving, you know, one set of instructions and then, you know, almost immediately would change to something else. No fault of ownership, just the uncertainty of it. And I'm sure in some ways it also had to be somewhat frustrating for some of the residents. Did you get any feedback on things like that early on?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that it continued to be really, really frustrating for everyone, just not knowing what the right answer is, right? So everybody was just kind of doing their best to come up with what they thought the best solutions would be. One of the big questions I know initially was, you know, do we open our pools or don't we open our pools for those properties who, you know, weren't in maybe say Florida or, well, I think even in Florida, you know, but do you open the pools or do you not open the pools? And if you open the pools, do you just space out the chairs or do you not space the chairs? And there was a lot of different strategies out there about that, which also was confusing because, you know, one company may have several different ways that they wanted to approach that. The same thing happened with our, you know, other amenity features and offices in general. So I think that, you know, again, those companies that were really able to utilize a variety of communication tools, texting tools, social media, and so forth, as well as, you know, the old school signs on the, you know, doors of amenities and offices and newsletters and papers to the doors. I think people who really embraced all of those communication vehicles were the ones who fared the best through all of that.
Yeah, and I've spoken with a lot of people prior to the pandemic and would go to some of the national conferences and watch people walk into booths at the expos where there was these new technologies they had for virtual leasing and things. And when I would talk to the person coming out, I would say, what'd you think of that? They said, oh, I think it's a great idea, but we're a long way away from being able to do something like that. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hits and, you know, people are adopting those types of technologies to create customer service and create the interaction with the prospect or the client very expeditiously. And I think some of that's going to be here to stay. We got about a minute and a half left. What are your feelings on those technologies and as far as it applies to customer experience?
I think at this point they're essential. The more technology that you can utilize in terms of AI or just robust CRM systems and that kind of thing and the virtual leasing, I think all of that is really here to stay because people have become accustomed to that now. And the fact of the matter is, I think prior to the pandemic, many operators and including myself looked at that as like, well, that would be a nice option to provide if we had the budget for that. But we may let our competitors try that first and kind of work out the kinks and jump on board when the price goes down a little bit. But yeah, many operators were forced to adopt those technologies more quickly. And I think what people have found is that the customers out there really, really do appreciate those options. And it was out of necessity, but I think now it's going to become the expectation and folks are going to have to adopt if they haven't yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's correct. Well, we're going to stop this segment here and be back with our next segment of the show. We're going to talk in the next segment a little bit about how the customer experience impacts multifamily. Is it the same as in other industries? And we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry. emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of the vital impact of customer care in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran who's an industry educator and sought-after national speaker, Gabriel Gonzalez, the owner of Gabriel Gonzalez & Associates. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible: EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent; Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties; and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Gabrielle, I mentioned before we went to break that we would be talking in this segment about how the customer experience has impacted multifamily. Is it the same as you're seeing in other industries? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. There's no question that a successful CX strategy will improve your bottom line in our industry. In fact, according to J. Turner Research, 71% of prospects surveyed chose to visit a property with a better online reputation. And this is really important because, I mean, an online reputation is really reflective of the satisfaction of your customer base, right? So, so I think that's some data that really supports that position. In addition to that, properties with high ORA scores produce 15% more leases than properties with lower ORA scores. And then lastly, an independent study of 1,000 renters found that close to 100% of them identified customer experience in the top three reasons that they either decided to rent with that particular community or to renew their lease. So I think that all of these data points really help to reinforce the notion that customer experience and a successful customer experience strategy in our industry is key to improving that bottom line.
I think that's all correct. I have a question for you because you did mention the online reputation, and I can certainly remember, I think you're probably much too young to remember, but I can remember in the industry before there was an internet, and you know, online reputation wasn't even on the radar screen, but now it is so vitally important, and there's so many people out there that are in the industry who are struggling trying to stay on top of that. What are you seeing? And obviously that's part of creating that customer experience, and also it's the first impression that someone's going to have of your property or your company. What are you recommending to clients about that? And is there anything new or different out there in keeping up with that that you would want to let our listeners know about?
Well, I think, Paul, one of the things that I have communicated with all of my clients about, because CX is sort of the baseline for everything that I do with my clients, but I will do an evaluation of their online reputation, and it always am encouraging them to achieve a high ORA score. So, because you're absolutely right, that is what people are seeing first, and this is really what is going to drive your new customer acquisition. So it's really, really important to maintain that high level of online reputation. I think there's a variety of technology solutions and industry partners out there who can help that and who focus solely in that space. but sort of going back to that grassroots way of thinking about it as well, I think that the best way to get good reviews is to deliver good service consistently. So I think that, you know, oftentimes that kind of two-pronged approach is really important because we want to have technology to really monitor that. But at the end of the day, we've got to also deliver that exceptional care.
And you mentioned earlier in the show, millennials, that they're the largest resident group out there that we have to deal with. What are you seeing as far as the customer experience affecting them?
Well, you're right, and we talked about millennials quite a bit in this segment. And you know, while Gen Xers are shown to spend more on average than millennials, studies also show that millennials are far more influenced by the overall customer experience than their Gen Xers. So what does that mean, right? It means that to maintain relationship with your millennial resident, you've got to consistently reinforce your commitment to them at every single touch point along their customer journey. Every single touch point, those millennials are looking to have their decision to spend their money with you reinforced. So it's really, really important that you do that, or you're going to risk losing them. Also, I was looking at some studies recently that showed that American consumers spend on average 13 hours per year in a calling queue. So when something, you know, doesn't go right in the customer experience. And according to a study in the journal Cost Management, a third of complaining customers, they have to make two or more calls to resolve their complaint. And that ignores the portion of people who simply just give up out of exasperation after the first call. In fact, according to a 2017 survey by the Carey School of Business at the Arizona State University, over three quarters of complaining consumers were less than satisfied with their experience with the given company's customer service department. So that means, you know, think about all those people. Three quarters of people who complained were more unhappy after they complained than they were before they complained. And that's a real problem for companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really important that people understand and companies understand how to effectively handle those customer complaints.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think one question that I've got is, because we're talking about the difference between millennials and Gen Xers, is what about the differences between categories of types of different multifamily properties? Do you see any difference, or do you recommend any different way of responding if you're dealing with a student housing property versus a conventional or affordable or even the class of a property, whether it's an A class, B class, or C class? Is there any differences in the techniques that need to be utilized?
No. The short answer on that, Paul, is no. The fact of the matter is that all the people's fundamental need is to feel heard. It's interesting. In one of my sessions that I talk about, I reference Oprah. So Oprah Winfrey, who has, you know, interviewed people all walks of life, right? She's interviewed people who are high up in the corporate chain or very successful, all the way to people who are incarcerated for terrible, you know, acts out there. So, and one of the things that she said that she found to be the same amongst all of those, that full spectrum of people who she's interviewed over the years, is that everybody just wants to be heard and to know that what they said matters to somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. So this is really, I think, kind of the foundational aspect of customer care. It's the same way. All customers, it doesn't matter what class of community you're in, A, B, or C, it doesn't matter if you're a student property, all people just want to be heard. And when people are upset about something or something hasn't gone their way, that's the most important place to start. In fact, I have a process, a five-step process that I share with my clients and others out there that can really help navigate that customer complaint in a way that is yields you more a happy customer at the end of it. And it helps the person that's going through that also feel more confident about handling that customer complaint, because that's tricky too. And I think back to that training question that you asked earlier, I think that's an area where we really still as an industry haven't sufficiently trained our teams to effectively navigate those more charged, emotionally charged situations. And with COVID right now, I think that has really, it's bubbled up, and we've really seen sort of the impact that that lack of training has had.
Yeah, and I when we have our next segment, our final segment, I do want to go over those five steps that you mentioned. But I wanted to ask you, when it comes to training, obviously I would think everybody was doing training in person for the most part, face-to-face training. And now we've gone to virtual training, obviously, for those reasons. We've got about 30 seconds left. Is it effective, the virtual training? Do you find it to be effective?
Well, Paul, that's a great question. And I would have to say, you know, I'm on the end of delivering the training.
Sure.
I can tell you that the feedback I've had has been positive. But with that said, I still think that in-person, and maybe this is just me, but that in-person interaction and engagement with the other human being, I think still is more impactful than being behind that computer. So, but I think, that might be a better question for those receiving the training.
All right. Well, we're gonna break it here, and we're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of the vital impact of customer care in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran who is an industry educator, sought-after national speaker. It's Gabriel Gonzalez, the owner of Gabriel Gonzalez and Associates. I want to let our supplier partner listeners know that we do have a couple of very special sponsorship opportunities that have become available. So if you'd like to find out more about it, go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. And reach out to us there. We'll be happy to talk with you about it. Gabrielle, complaints. We were talking a little bit about complaints, and they can be tricky. How can the multifamily operators handle the complaints in a systematic way that will help them to maybe reinforce their commitment to CX?
Well, thanks for asking that, because I do have a strategy for doing that that I'd love to share with you and your listeners. And I wanted to mention, too, that years ago, one of the ways that I measured this when I was working with my teams is I would empower my site teams, you know, to make those decisions. And I think that's something that's really important in today for today's operators as well, is to empower those frontline folks to not just take the complaint, but to solve the complaint, you know, give them the autonomy to make some of those decisions. Because after all, they're frontline, they're closest to the situation, and they're going to be the ones that know the most about the situation and be able to, you know, use their judgment to make a good, to do what's right and make a good decision. But so one of the ways that I used to measure that, and I wanted to encourage your listeners to try this if they were looking for a way to kind of identify some KPIs, was I would identify the number of customer complaint calls that were elevated, you know, to my office, say if I were, let's say, a regional manager. So I would identify how many elevated complaints are coming to me each month that I'm going to have to get kind of get involved with to help resolve. And the objective would be to kind of look at that, you know, look at the trend of how many are being escalated to me, and then work with those management teams to improve their customer complaint strategies so that they could handle those. And then I would see that number go down. So that was a really, really great strategy and a way to quantify your team's effectiveness in handling those customer complaints. So I just wanted to encourage folks to maybe try that if they're looking for a way to really quantify the effectiveness of their team's customer complaint strategy.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah. So here's my five steps. This is a foolproof process for handling customer complaints in a way that doesn't put you into that bucket we talked about earlier, where over 3/4 of complaining consumers are less satisfied with their experience after they've complained. So the first step is acknowledge the complaint. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Oprah. Everyone just wants to be heard. So make sure that you take the time to acknowledge the complaint. And I always tell people you can do that by just simply saying something like, oh, wow. Oh, that happened. That sounds terrible. Just something like that. Just make sure you acknowledge the complaint. The second step is to sincerely apologize. And I always ask people, I say, have you ever responded when a customer is complaining to you by saying, oh, I'm so sorry, right off the bat? And I always, in my sessions, people raise their hands. They always say, yeah. And I tell them, you know what? You're doing it wrong. Don't do that. You have to acknowledge the complaint before you can apologize for the complaint. Otherwise, it sounds like you're being disingenuous when you apologize, right? What are you apologizing for? So step one is acknowledge. Step two is sincerely apologize. And then you have to sort of pause and make sure that the person is done explaining their complaint before you move on to step three. And if people are really, really upset, they may want to tell you more after you apologize, in which case you have to go back to step one and start over again.
Wow.
So step three is take action to make things right. And this is where I was talking about earlier, is I really like to, I've always wanted to empower my teams to take action. You're an adult, you are in a professional situation. So take action to fix this for your customer. Do the right thing. And I, you know, most companies out there and all of the ones I've ever been encountered with want their employees to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing for their customer. And so I encourage you, do the right thing. Take action as step three and figure out what you can do now to address the complaint and what you can do maybe later. After that, step four is thank the customer. Thank them for giving you the complaint, because especially right now, people are anxious. People don't like conflict. I mean, humans by nature, we don't really like conflict. And so we shy away from it. So oftentimes when somebody's upset about something, they won't even tell you. And if they don't tell you, you most certainly can't fix it. So when someone takes the time to give you a complaint, tell them, thank them for that. And the fifth step is to document and close the loop. Document the complaint. So I tell my teams on site, you know, we need to understand trends. And I don't mean document every little piece of minutia. I just mean, was the complaint about people, product, pricing? You know, what generally is this complaint? So that you can show over, you know, a quarter, for example, you can go into your budget meeting with your executive team, and you can say, you know what, last year we had 100 complaints total, and of those, 60% of those were related to our products, our windows leaking or something. This is why I'm trying to budget for new windows. You know, so you can use that data to create those trends and then substantiate some of your asks. And then lastly, follow up. And I always tell people that it's so important to follow up. Just sometimes we feel like we did something, we took action, we resolved the situation in the moment, and then we kind of want to like turn our head and like check that box and go the other direction, you know, because that was a little uncomfortable. But what I encourage people to do is follow up. Jump back in to the fire, maybe 30 days later is usually a typical benchmark that I use. Jump back in and ask and make sure that the initial issue hasn't resurfaced, hasn't bubbled back up and is causing someone consternation again. Again, because our customers, particularly in multifamily right now, they're so important, and we don't want to lose one customer because we didn't really, really resolve that issue for them and then have to go out and get a new customer, because that we know costs a lot of money. So when you follow those five steps in that order, one, and doing them one at a time, you will be able to more effectively handle those customer complaints, keep your customers, and you'll go into that customer complaint conversation with more confidence.
I mean, those are five great steps. You introduced it by saying it was foolproof, which is a pretty stout claim, but I can see where it would be foolproof. I mean, that is if you follow that, you got a certainly a chance of diffusing the situation and turning it around so that the customer is happy. Any success stories that you've seen by using that?
Well, yeah, I've got a list of success stories, but I don't know that we have enough time for all of those.
Well, we've got time for one short one, and then I want to transition into something else.
Okay. Well, one, I can give you one example of a situation where a resident was really, really upset about, well, you're kind of putting me on the spot on this one.
You don't have to mention names or anything like that.
Okay, well, so we had a resident who was really upset about dog waste not being picked up properly. Mm-hmm. And they had stepped in the dog waste and, you know, had messed up their new yoga shoes, and they'd come in and they were really, you know, upset, and they were telling us how, you know, they think this has happened before, and, you know, so on and so forth. So in that situation, we acknowledged the complaint by saying, you know, oh, wow, that's terrible. We paused and we said, I'm so sorry about that. The action that we took to make it right was to go over there immediately and clean up the dog do that was now on the sidewalk in front of their apartment. And also, we offered to take their new yoga shoes to the cleaners to have them cleaned. So they were cleaned. We presented those back to the resident, you know, about a couple days later. We thanked that resident for, you know, letting us know that that had been an issue. We also later, because I talked about taking action now and taking action later, we put up a new dog poo station right there. Where the situation had occurred, because she had mentioned that this was a recurring problem. So we added that. We followed back up with that resident about 30 days later, again, just called her up and asked, you know, how have you been seeing things now? Have you, you know, does the situation seem to have improved? And she told us at that point that, yes, it had improved, and she was really impressed with the fact that we had gone out of our way to get her shoes cleaned and, you know, a couple weeks later put that new dog pot in to mitigate future dog waste issues in the area.
Yeah.
So it worked out really, really well.
That's a great story. Well, we've got a little bit over a minute left. I want to let you give everybody an idea of what you're doing with Gabriel Gonzalez and Associates, what you can do for clients, and how they can reach you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, yeah, so I am helping companies and teams come up with creative solutions for complex problems in our industry. So I have helped clients with everything from CRM management and refining training programs to looking at job descriptions and helping them recalibrate those or refine those and make them more up to date. I come in and I can also help clients design a customer experience strategy that can be implemented throughout their organization. I can come in and do a one-off market evaluation and training or assessment. So really it's the full spectrum. I leverage my 25 plus years in this industry to help clients with a spectrum of customer experience and property and asset related
How can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm still working on my website, but I do have a Facebook page called Gabriel Gonzalez and Associates that people can go to, and I put regular updates up there and some good tips and information, or via my LinkedIn profile. I encourage folks to connect with me on LinkedIn because I love to hear what other people are doing. And again, I put a lot of tips and helpful resources out there as well.
Wonderful. Well, Gabriel, thanks so much for being part of the show today. It's always great to have you as a guest. We'll have you back again after the first of the year sometime soon. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.